The Fan on Demand. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan, I am flying solo tonight. Tyler is, I'd say he's on vacation right now, but he is south of the border doing some impeccable training with Marcelo Garcia, arguably the greatest no-gi grappler to ever grace this planet. The guy is unbelievable, and Tyler's spending some time there. If you're checking out his Twitter, you'll see what I mean. He's doing some 2 or 3 a day. So good for Tyler. He'll likely be back next week. Behind the glass, making sure that I keep everything in check. Dylan Brown, my tech op, and of course producing the show is Igor Henriquez. And he wants to make sure I say his last name correctly because then he gets very upset with me and then it gets pretty ugly. I will bring you up to speed on a variety of news. But just to let you know, we'll be talking to Mitch Gagnon, who was supposed to fight this Saturday for the UFC on Fox card. But unfortunately ran into some issues and his fight versus Johnny Bedford has been pulled off the card. We'll be hearing from him probably in a few minutes. And in our final segment, we'll hear from Dan Stupp. He is the founder or co-founder of MMAJunkie.com. He is actually in Chi-Town where the UFC on Fox event is taking place on Saturday. If you don't know, I'll explain this to you again. Just like last week, we will be airing the prelims on Sportsnet 1 starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, and then the main card will air on Sportsnet's regional channels. All four channels will air the main card for Evans versus Davis starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. You definitely do not want to miss them, because if you missed it last week, you missed 5 hours of incredible mixed martial arts action for the UFC. And it started off with our very own Ottawa native Nick, the Ninja of Love, Denis. That's right, I said it. His nickname is the Ninja of Love. Nick Denis took on Joseph Sandoval in his octagon debut. That fight lasted all of 22 seconds. It was a spectacular, unbelievable performance. They started trading bombs, and Nick stated in his post-fight interview that he noticed that Sandoval wasn't reacting the way he thought he was going to. And then as they clinched, he fired off a whack of elbows, a bunch of right elbows that connected to Sandoval's head, and he dropped him pretty quickly. If you haven't seen that fight, you can probably see it at UFC.com or some of the replays that we aired for the show on the various Sportsnet channels. The next bout on the card, though, you probably noticed a quick little insert slash feature that we did on Wednesday for Daniel Pineda, who took on Pat Schilling. And the reason why I wanted to showcase this fight is, for me, it's often rare because, you know, having trained mixed martial arts or jiu-jitsu, there's always a flow. And in mixed martial arts, the most basic flow is, you know, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, let's get it on. Two fighters come out and your goal is to strike. And if you want to submit the guy, well, you strike, you work for the takedown, you take your opponent down. If you land in his guard, you pass his guard. You pass his guard, perhaps you want to go to mount, secure the mount, and then work away to see what kind of submission you can get. That's exactly what Daniel Pineda did in 97 seconds. He took on Pat Schilling. They struck. Both guys were feeling each other out. They struck. Boom. Pineda got a takedown, immediately passed the guard, got into mount, and was very crucial as how he crawled up very high into mount, stabilized his position, and began raining down bombs just to see what Schilling was going to do. Schilling gave up his back. Pineda took it, locked in the rear naked choke, and the tap out came 97 seconds into the fight. It was beautiful. It was mixed martial arts 101. The next bout was Fabricio Camoes taking on Tommy Haydon. That one lasted 4 minutes and 3 seconds with Camoes, who, by the way, fought Anderson Silva way back when, but now Camoes is a lightweight, and he took out Tommy Haydon via rear naked choke, which was the theme pretty much for submissions at this card in Nashville, Tennessee. The next scrap was Charlie Brenneman versus Daniel Roberts. I scored that fight 30-27. One judge had a 29-28. But in my opinion, Charlie Brenneman's top game was just simply too much for Daniel Roberts, and he won that fight 30-27. The next scrap on the card was a lightweight bout between Kamal Chalarus. Many of you folks out there know Kamal from his days in the WEC. He actually came over to the UFC and fought Jim Miller and lost that fight. A lot of high expectations for Kamal Chalarus, who took on a virtual, pretty much unknown to many fans in North America, unless you're a real hardcore fan, Khabib Nurmagomedov. As a guy that was just, you know, wreaking havoc overseas, especially in his native Russia, he defeats Kamal Chalarus in the third round, drops him in the first round with a beautiful uppercut, went in for the finish, couldn't get it, dominates in the second round, does the same thing in the third round, finishes him off at 2 minutes and 8 seconds. Mark my words, I know it's a difficult name to remember and say, but Khabib Nurmagomedov will be making huge, you know, waves in the lightweight division. Believe me. The next bout, which was the final one on the actual prelim broadcast that aired on Sportsnet 1, was El Conquistador Jorge Rivera taking on Eric Red Schaefer. That fight lasted two rounds. Actually, it stopped 1 minute and 31 seconds into the second round. Jorge Rivera pulls off the submission after, you know, being dominated by Schaefer. It looked like Schaefer ran out of gas, but Jorge Rivera, even before the fight, announced that he was going to retire from mixed martial arts. He steps away victorious, and like I said in via Twitter and even, you know, through the various interviews that I've done since, one of the greatest guys in the sport. So such a nice man, and one of the few guys that in the middle of an interview actually had my eyes swell up with tears. He's a very emotional guy and an amazing story. Try and get a chance. Look up some of the interviews I did with Jorge, and of course, try and read his story. It's just unbelievable what this guy has had to endure, not just in his life, but in his mixed martial arts career. The main card saw Pat Barry take on Christian Moorcraft. Pat Barry showcased a little bit of submission defense, looked pretty good, ends up winning the fight via KO at 3:38 of the first round. Beautiful left hook lands, and then he goes in for the finish. Did a very, very good job in that fight there. His post-fight press conference, though, if you get a chance, check it out online, was phenomenal. There's an actual clip that I pulled that we'll be using in an upcoming feature on UFC Central. You will love it. And it's also going to start off with Pat Barry's comments because it was unbelievable. I'm not going to give it away because I want you guys to hold off on that and just stay tuned. The next scrap was a guy that I was boasting about big time during last week's show when Tyler and Ronnie Keefe were here. And Tyler began tweeting when this fight was going on. Mike Easton versus Jared Papazian. I don't know how this fight ended up being a majority decision. One judge scored a 29-29. In my opinion, Mike Easton won that fight 30-27, maybe 29-28. But Mike Easton at bantamweight, he actually trains with the bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz, puts on an exceptional performance. The co-main event of the evening saw Dwayne Ludwig take on Josh Neer. Difficult fight for myself to watch because I've known Dwayne Ludwig for such a long time, but he got choked out right to sleep by Josh Neer. They were standing and trading. Dwayne was very upset when the mouthpiece fell out from Josh Neer, and then they had to stop the fight because he was, you know, technically winning that fight, but then went in for, Neer gets the guillotine choke, locks it in, taps him out at 304. Melvin Gillard, Jim Miller was the main event. It's always the same thing. We talked about this before during last week's show. If Jim Miller gets his fight down on the ground, we don't like Melvin's chances, and we saw exactly what happened. Melvin was actually winning that fight, and as soon as it hit the ground, Jim Miller locked in a rear naked choke at 304 of the first round. Fight of the night went to Pat Barry and Christian Moorcraft. Not many people agree with that. They got $45,000 each. I would have gave it to Mike Easton and Jared Papazian, but I digress. Knockout of the night, of course, was Nick Denis with those incredible elbows, and of course, submission of the night went to Jim Miller because usually the higher the fight, unless it's a spectacular submission, the higher the fight on the card, the more chances that that guy's going to win. It's Jim Miller gets $45,000 for his efforts submitting Melvin Gillard. A lot of crazy stuff went down today with the UFC on Fox press conference. I'm going to be playing some clips after the commercial break from Rashad Evans and Phil Davis, who just went at each other nonstop during this press conference. And, of course, Chael Sonnen. If you did not hear what Chael Sonnen said at this press conference, he may have taken it to a brand new level. He showed up there with a UFC belt claiming he is the world champion. I mean, some classic lines by Chael Sonnen. Some people can't stand him. Some people love him. I'm somewhere in the middle because I have no problem with what he's doing. He's promoting the fights, and you're starting to see a lot of the MMA media out there that had issues with him basically turning it around and really enjoying what he's doing because, you know, you can't believe everything he says. I mean, I don't think he believes everything he says, but he's doing a great job. Can't complain. I'll play some of those clips a little bit later on. Dana White discussed some stuff earlier today about Nate Marquardt and Anthony Johnson. He said he would rather have Nate Marquardt back before Anthony Johnson because A, he likes Nate Marquardt, but B, Anthony Johnson, he will not be going to Strikeforce. He wants to see Anthony Johnson go to another MMA organization, make weight before and win some fights before he comes back to the UFC. Earlier today, Antonio McKee weighed in for his title fight for the MFC going down tomorrow. He was 7 pounds overweight. He has been stripped of the title, and after this bout here, will no longer be competing for the MFC. If you checked out Showdown.ca, you've been following me on my Twitter, at Showdown Joe. You know Greg Jackson is coming to Orangeville March 23rd, 24th, and 25th for an exceptional seminar. I also put up a story about Crow Time, a new reality series starring David Loiseau. I think it's going to be a great little feature there. I want to check that out. Remember King Mo? He tested positive for a banned substance. He's blaming it on what's called S-masculine gainer for his failed performance enhancement drug test after his fight with Lawrence Larkin. By the way, Lawrence Larkin is now dropping down a weight division to middleweight after that fight. check out my Twitter. Check out some of the stories I've been writing on Sportsnet.ca and, of course, Sportsnet590.ca. Diego Sanchez, he's taking some shots at Nick Diaz for his pitter-patter punches, how he thinks he can defeat George St. Pierre, and his thoughts on his next opponent, Jake Ellenberger. We're going to be hearing from Mitch Gagnon momentarily. Just want you guys to know the featherweight junior Arsene Sal has been released by the UFC. Pro Elite went down last weekend. Kendall Grove victorious over Manoa Man. An Olympian, Sarah McMahon, continues to be undefeated. She takes out Hitomi Okano. And all you Miracle Crow Cup fans, looks like his next fight will not be in mixed martial arts. It'll be a K-1 style bout versus Ray Sifo, as Sugar Sifo mentioned this via his Twitter. All right. On the line right now, we have Mitch Gagnon. An unfortunate situation for Mitch as he was set to make his Octagon debut. If you've never seen Mitch fight, I highly recommend going online and check out some of his fights. He's 8-1. He's never been finished. The only time he suffered a defeat was via decision, and it was against Will Romero, who was a tough guy. But you go up and down Mitch Gagnon's record, and all you see is submission, submission, submission. This guy was ready for the UFC. Unfortunately, ran into some issues, and we'll hear from Mitch right now to get the whole lowdown and what exactly happened. Mitch, based on the terrible news that we got yesterday that you were no longer competing against Johnny Bedford, what exactly happened?
Well, we knew leading up to when the UFC originally contacted me to be a replacement for Johnny. When I wanted to be a replacement for because of an injured, can't believe I forgot his name. Anyways, after they contacted me, they had mentioned it would be tight for to get my visa in time, due to the fact that it was during the holidays, and they wouldn't have been able to process the application until the 2nd of January. So we knew we were cutting it short, and unfortunately, it was just that I didn't get the visa in time, and this is where I was at the last couple of days trying to call, every strings I had to make it happen. The UFC tried everything they could on their end, and unfortunately, it was just not enough.
The guy that you replaced, Eddie Wineland.
Eddie Wineland, yes.
So for those paying attention to the story, what's the status now? I'm sure the UFC isn't upset with you based on the scenario, but what's the status with the UFC right now?
From what my manager told me, they're looking at putting me on the card in a couple months and maybe get the same bout against Johnny Bedford just in a later time in a couple months from now.
But there is a bright side to this. You get more time to train for Johnny Bedford.
Yeah, no, I see that positive, for what it is. I will have more time to train for him and, just get a good training champion. I was, considering it was the holidays, I was pretty heavy coming in, in training camp. And, I was really concentrated on dropping the weight down. So my energy was really low throughout this process. But, I had my weight down where I wanted it. I was, I had no excuse. I was ready to go. But fortunately, again, it just didn't play out like I wanted to.
All right. Are you able to stick around for a little bit more? I've got to go to break right now, but I want to ask you a few more questions. I want people to know a bit more about your career and how you got started.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. There you have it. Mitch Gagnon. We're going to hear a bit more from Mitch a little bit later, or actually right after the break here. We'll also play the clips from Chael Sonnen. We'll hear from, Rashad Evans and Phil Davis. And we'll also hear from Big John McCarthy, who breaks down the whole conversation about hitting to the back of the head. You're listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. This is The Showdown. Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. And special thanks again to Mitch Gagnon, who's sticking around a bit longer. I'm sure he wants to get back and chilling out and taking too much of his time. But I want people to know a little bit more about Mitch because he trains with a very good friend of mine, Ishade, way up in Sudbury, Ontario. And Mitch, I'm not sure if you know, but every time I go ice fishing You know, it's Eves wants to know where I'm at so he can come and see me, but I got to hide from Eves because then he's going to make me start training with you guys on the mats.
That'd be a good thing.
I don't know, because I think a lot of you guys want to take liberties with me, but let's get back to one thing here. Talk about how you got started in mixed martial arts, because, I mean, from day one, Eves has always been telling me, Joe, you got to come to Mitch's fights, and I've seen a couple of your fights live, but he's like, Joe, trust me, watch Mitch, this kid's amazing. Talk about why you got into mixed martial arts and how your career has been going thus far.
You know, I got into mixed martial arts. I was always interested in mixed martial arts. I came up in a wrestling background. But at the time, you know, up north here, there weren't really any mixed martial arts club, you know. So I was still, you know, training and doing other martial arts like judo, jiu-jitsu, and boxing and whatnot. But it was a fluke, really. I met Dan Garamez, and I didn't really meet him that day, but I went to a show in Ottawa again, a freedom fight, and you know, I was just a spectator and watching the fights, and all of a sudden I hear, you know, coming out of, you know, Sudbury, Ontario, and I lived there and never heard of Team Shredder.
Yep.
And you know, it caught my eye right away, and that weekend, I got in contact with Eve and Dan, and stayed around ever since.
Yeah, Dan was a great fighter back in the day, and he's still one of my favorite guys in the industry. You can rest assured, whenever Eve and Dan were somewhere around me, especially back in the Apex days, you know, we spent a lot of quality time together, and two of the nicest guys in the industry. Talk about Sudbury, though, because most people, you know, don't associate mixed martial arts with Sudbury, but there's a good, you know, populace up there that really love the sport.
Yeah, you know, it grew a lot in the last probably 3-4 years, 5 years. It really grew. A lot in Sudbury, and we just opened up our gym, our new facility, 67 square feet. You know, it's a very, very big gym, just opened up, and you know, we're doing great things, and hopefully you know, getting you know, other great fighters that we have out there, and you know, building them up, you know, good careers and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can somehow. I talked to Eve about talking to the Sportsnet folks to give me a camera, and we'll probably head up there and try and get some sort of some footage of you training for the bout, but I'll also be talking to Eve. In terms of Johnny Bedford, who likely will be your next opponent, if he's not, we can understand, but a guy like Johnny Bedford who brings the pressure in a bout, if that bout would have taken place, what kind of game plan do you think you would have put together? And I don't want you giving away anything, but what kind of game plan would you put against a guy like Johnny Bedford?
You know, I'm a fighter that likes to fight high fat, you know, high pace, and you know, so I think me and Johnny would have, you know, would have gave the fans, you know, what they paid for sure. But you know, basically, you know, I don't really want to change what I've been doing. I've been, you know, successful at it, and it's basically putting the pressure on. And I think Johnny's the same way. So I think we would have met in the middle, and you know, seen who would have been the better man that day. Hopefully the fight will still happen. I'm still hoping to get that fight, and we'll just have to see in the near future, I am hoping.
All right. In closing, what do you have to do in terms of getting that visa taken care of so these issues don't come up again? That way you're ready to go should the UFC need you south of the border.
I'm thinking my visa was just like a week away, maybe 2 weeks away of being, you know, shit to me, to be honest. It was really a matter of weeks, you know, that we didn't have. And we'll go from there. After the visa is in, it'll be in, and we'll go from there.
All right, Mitch, thank you very much for joining us. You can catch Mitch at Mitch the Machine on Twitter. Please give my best to Eve and Dan and to everyone up there. And look forward to seeing you very soon.
I will. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show.
There you have it. Mitch Gagnon, we look forward to seeing him make his Octagon debut in the very near future, likely against Johnny Bedford. And let's hope that that visa shows up in his mailbox or some way, somehow gets into his hands, because we want to see him make his Octagon debut. This Saturday, though, in Chicago, Illinois, United Center, we are going to see Sugar Rashad Evans taking on Phil Davis. We will see, Chael Sonnen taking on Michael Bisping is a spectacular fight, but the opening bout of the main broadcast, we'll see Damian Maia against Chris Weidman. These guys, along with Mike Russo and John Olivanimo, who are competing on the prelims, which you can see on Sportsnet 1, this Saturday. They were at a press conference today, and it was unbelievable. It was one of those press conferences where you should have grabbed some popcorn, sat back, and just simply enjoyed the show, especially when it came to Rashad Evans and Phil Davis, as well as Chael Sonnen. Here's a little clip from Rashad Evans and Phil Davis. And we all know Rashad Evans, if you remember the Ultimate Fighter, when he took on, or when he was a coach opposite Rampage Jackson, he does not back down from any sort of trash talking. He'll get right in your face and do it. And he did that today with Phil Davis.
This man is he's the outright number one contender. And he's not going to be the number one contender anymore after this weekend. I encourage imagination. And, you know, it's good that he has that. But No, he'll never beat me in wrestling, not thumb wrestling, not anything of the sort, all right? You guys who have not wrestled, okay, we're in the same division, similar weight classes, okay?
I wrestled 174, I mean, you wrestled 197, and you wrestled a year that was kind of softy, so, I mean...
If I wrestled four times, all-American.
If I wrestled you in college, I guarantee I would have beat you. Oh. If we wrestle right now, I guarantee I beat you in wrestling.
That's interesting. Weren't you in college for 4 years? How many years were you an All-American?
Your technique is trash. You have trash technique.
I have trash technique. I did have.
You won your college championship off a jump.
Two Big Ten titles and a national title.
You used trash to win. You couldn't win. You couldn't win a national. You could not win a world competition. You cannot win on an international level.
On an international level,
you cannot win on an international stage because you have trash technique.
Really?
I guarantee you have trash technique. I watch
the
way you move. You have trash technique.
What have you been watching?
I watched you wrestle in college, and it was trash.
Wow.
Next question, please.
Being a Pennsylvania guy, I really wanted to fight in Philly. All my friends and family could make that. So I was obviously really, really upset about that. But,
Notice you say he didn't want to fight me, right? I just want to point that out. You notice he said he was upset because he didn't get to fight in front of his friends, but he didn't say because he was afraid.
I don't know if that's what they heard.
Well, I mean, that's what you said. You didn't say. The question was,
he's on drugs.
Were you disappointed you didn't get to fight Rashad? Then you started talking about the fact that you couldn't fight in front of your friends and family.
I'm embarrassed. They're going to test him. He's on drugs.
I'm just saying.
Anyhow. I was upset because I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but you didn't want to fight me. I mean,
nobody heard that.
Well, you didn't say it.
No, but
the question was, you should have said, "Yeah, I wasn't disappointed, or I really wanted to fight him." But you started talking about the fact that
Chicago Commission. This man is on drugs. All right. Anyhow. So yeah, man, I'm upset. But things have a way of correcting themselves. You know, just take your time and. Things come full circle, and now he's going to get what he deserved. I think what he was trying to say was the winner of this fight will fight for the title, but in the event that I hit him too hard and break my hand, it might lead to somebody else getting the title shot first.
Let's be honest here.
But I'm pretty sure that's what Dana was
really
going to say.
Go ahead, Dana.
You can say what you was going to say. That's what he was going to say.
You seen Phil. Phil can't hit. Phil punch with his hands open and everything. He don't hit hard.
He's going to get open hand slap.
Phil couldn't bust a grape. Phil looking like Arsenio Hall and John Saudi had a baby. Looking like Cena.
That's true. He practiced that one. Give him a hand, y'all. Give him a hand. He practiced that.
That was the press conference. I've never seen, I don't know what I would have did if I was there live, but I mean, watching it and just looking at Dana White's reaction to some of the stuff that was going on there, that's the main event on Saturday night. These guys are going to be throwing down like you wouldn't believe. And you know, there was some comedy in there, but there's some leading up to this press conference, Rashad Evans made it clear that Phil Davis, he called him a boy. He said, this guy cannot take a punch. And when he actually gets in there with Rashad Evans, and once he tags Phil Davis will cower and run. I mean, and Phil Davis is like, you're going to, Phil Davis' response was great. He basically, in essence, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I'm going to remind you, when I'm on top of you with every single punch of what you just said, every punch I will remind you. This is going to be, ladies and gentlemen, a stellar main event. I can't wait for it to go down. But if you like that, or if you dislike that, Chael Sonnen took it to a whole new level. I mean, Chael Sonnen got this and understood this a long time ago, the importance of promoting a fight. Here's Chael Sonnen at today's press conference. Unbelievable.
Well, for those of you that can't see, this is the world championship title of which I took from Anderson Silva. And in this country, possession is 9/10 of the law. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And if he wants it back, he knows where to find me. It's my belt. I slept with this thing last night. You're looking at the reflection of perfection, the one that gets all your attention. You're looking at the man with the biggest arms, the man with the greatest charm, and the man in Chicago to do a lot of harm to a guy three doors down. You know, I don't do these camps either. I think these guys that go to camp, I think fighters say one thing and mean another thing. Like, hey, I got to camp and be in seclusion. I think that means, hey, my wife and kids are driving me nuts. I got to get out of town. I go to practice every day. If I have a fight coming up, I work a little bit harder. But that's it. I don't run practice. Coach runs practice. I do what I'm asked of me. When I'm asked to go home, I hit the showers and go home. My skills are my skills. I'm going to bring them 15 hard minutes where the better man win, and he will. Well, there you look. There's nothing changed, and there hasn't been a whole lot of talk. We haven't had major opportunities for media events because the fight just got announced. But the bottom line is the show is so sold out. It's on free TV. Everybody in the world's going to tune in to watch it. It's going to set ratings. You got the 6, 7, 8 biggest stars in the business sitting up here. We got a room full of people. We're going to set records on Fox. 28th, live from the United Center, 8 in the East on Fox, 5 in the East on Fuel. If you're not smart enough to know you have to change the channel, you don't deserve the entertainment. Well, listen, I believe that I'm the true champion. This is a true UFC belt. This was Anderson Silva's belt. I took his belt like a gangster in the night. I walked in and took it like a welcher on a football bet. Okay? If he wants his belt back, he can come and get it. But as far as I'm concerned, he is as relevant as Mike Tyson, and the only thing he hasn't done is announce his retirement. He should paint his face, gain 100 pounds, sit in the third row, and hope that somebody remembers who they are, because neither of those guys matter anymore. You talking to the world's toughest man, or did that get referred down to Mr. Davis? Because I'm not sure. Maybe I could ask a question. Maybe I could ask three of Michael Bisping. First, what you going to do when you know who? How you going to deal with the Man of Steel? And how will you react to Sonnen's attack? Tune in on the 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will find out who the real world champion is. Well, you know, listen, I'm not fighting Anderson in Brazil. I'm not fighting him at the MGM. I'm not fighting him in Chicago. I'm fighting him in the octagon, and they can set that sumbitch up wherever they want. When my music hits those speakers, I'll make that walk, and I will stomp him for 5 full rounds. Again.
Chael Sonnen. Channeling his inner, my goodness, Muhammad Ali / best pro wrestling impression. Like I said, he took it to the next level, showing up with a belt. A UFC belt, and Michael Bisping was just all over him saying, you know, he bought that on eBay for $29.99. But that's Chael Sonnen, and believe me, some people like it, some people don't, but he is doing a huge favor to the Ultimate Fighting Championship and UFC president Dana White by promoting the fights the way that he does. You could say what you want. Bottom line is this guy steps into the octagon and backs it up. You know, you may not like it, you may love it. I mean, I have no issues with it. I think it makes for great television, makes for great sound bites, but I am looking forward to these guys going down, stepping in the octagon on Saturday night. And to break this card down with me and give us a little pulse of what's happening in Chicago will be Dan Stupp from MMA Junkie coming up after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet 590.
This is The Showdown with Showdown Joe on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. There are some people that are asking for the Big John McCarthy clip. Unfortunately, won't be able to air it, but if you want to know what Big John McCarthy, how he describes the back of the head and what is legal and what is illegal, the clip is actually on showdown.ca. Check it out. It's an in locker room chat that he has with fighters about to compete in a card, and it's a great explanation, very similar to the explanation he gave to many of us during both the judging and officiating course via his command certification. But right now I'm going to be joined on the line by Dan Stupp, the co-founder, editor-in-chief of MMAJunkie.com, a guy that's been around this business for a very long time, a guy I run into often on occasion. If it's not him, it's John Morgan at various UFC pay-per-view events. Dan, how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Good. First things first, the reason why I want to have you on the show tonight was simply to get a pulse on what's happening in Chi-Town, because I'm not there. I really wish I was there, but I'll be heading down to Vegas to cover next week's event with Diaz and Condit. But tell me, what's the buzz like right now in Chi-Town?
Yeah, it's funny. A few people, you know, were asking me last week, you know, what I thought there was in the way of buzz or hype for this event. And I told him, you know, I think it had gotten lost in the shuffle. You know, the UFC had been doing so many events. So I came up here with my expectations kind of low, and there's definitely a buzz. You know, we saw it at the workouts just from the media turnout, not just the MMA media, but the local media. There were quite a few here. And then the press conference today, I mean, just a packed house with media, and they let in fans, and they had this ballroom in the hotel just completely packed. And, you know, last week they announced the sellout. So I think we're definitely seeing the buzz now, and I think it will come across like a pretty big event on Saturday. It sounds like they've got the arena configured for about 16,000 people, so it should be a pretty big event.
Now, you take a look at the matchmaking for this event here, and it's something that actually John and I had discussed, John Morgan and I had discussed, as well as a bunch of other guys at the events. In putting together these cards for Fox, it was always one of two things. A, they're going to put a champion on the card to really get the ratings up, but that can sort of falsify the numbers, as opposed to just simply saying, hey, you know what, why don't we put contenders on these Fox cards, build them up so the winners can get to pay-per-view, and that's pretty much what we're seeing here. Do you think this is going to be what the UFC will be doing moving forward with some of these Fox cards?
Yeah, we actually talked to Dana about it today, trying to kind of get a feel for what their game plan is with the Fox cards. And I think he kind of laid it out. You know, he was saying, you know, some people complain about cards that, you know, they think John Jones should be fighting on every one because he's the big marketable star. And, you know, it's like you said, we've only got so many top draws like that. You know, what we're trying to do now is build up, you know, some of these other guys that, you know, deserve that kind of attention. And, you know, I think this weekend, obviously, you know, I think Rashad and then Chael, you know, they've probably got the followings already. But, you know, obviously this is a great opportunity for a guy like Phil Davis or Chris Weidman, you know, to kind of become those top guys who could carry a pay-per-view in the future.
And here's something for your back pocket that we should discuss in the future with Jim Miller taking on Nate Diaz for, I believe, UFC on Fox 3. It'll remain to be seen how these two guys are going to be promoting the fight, considering what Rashad Evans, Phil Davis, and Chael Sonnen did today. I mean, let's talk about this press conference. I mean, Phil Davis didn't back down for anything Rashad Evans was doing, and Rashad, as we know, will not back down from anyone. Just look at the history with Rampage Jackson. What did you make of the two headliners today?
I think we've kind of seen it escalate over the weeks. You know, I think a lot of people lately have kind of taken a page out of Chael Sonnen's playbook and understand that, you know, if you pick talk a big game and maybe not even have to back it up, but, you know, if you're the one talking and making some noise, you're going to get some attention and people are going to want to see you fight. And I think Phil and Rashad kind of both went into the event thinking that, you know, we're going to hype this, we're going to sell it, even if we don't mean what we're saying. But I think especially in the past week, you know, we saw it on the media conference call. We definitely saw it at workouts yesterday and the press conference today. I think they kind of got caught up in it. I think maybe it was kind of good-natured fun to start off with and just talking to be talking. But I think some of the digs that, you know, they kind of chose to target each other with, you know, kind of cut a little deep. And I think, you know, it kind of has turned into a, you know, a full-fledged rivalry at this point. I think, you know, there's a lot of joking around and name calling and things like that, but I think it's very clear just from talking to them individually and together kind of at the press conference today that they really don't like each other, and there is going to be a little, I guess, ill will going into Saturday's event.
We're speaking with Dan Stupp, editor-in-chief and co-founder of MMAJunkie.com, right here on the Showdown on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I mean, Dan, when you think about it, these guys are getting very close to Saturday night. The alpha male is starting to come out, and like you said, there's some jabs that they're throwing verbally that start cutting away. But if you can give a sense, I mean, I try at times to give a sense to the listenership and the viewers of UFC Central what it's like to be at the media workouts. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's great for us because we get clips. But sometimes when two guys that are competing each other are actually in the same room, you know, it's not always that there's tension, but you never know what can happen. I mean, give a little sense of what happened this time around for the UFC on Fox 2 media workouts.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the good things about this card is, you know, obviously Bisping and Sonnen don't, you know, really hold back. And, you know, Phil Davis and Rashad have been going at it. But I think, you know, I don't think it's a situation like we've seen with some fighters. You know, I know everyone always picks them up, yeah, as an example, but, you know, a Nick or Nate Diaz where, you know, you really do have to worry about tempers boiling over or, you know, shoving or punches getting thrown. You don't see any of that. I think, you know, it wasn't uncomfortable. There were a few times where we were talking to him individually, and, you know, Rashad was making fun of Phil's wrestling and, you know, that he's funky and that's not a good thing. And he only won because he was so unorthodox. But as he's saying it, he's kind of looking across the room to see if Phil's there, if Phil's listening, or maybe just looking to see if he gets a rise out of him. So, no, I think that's why the workouts are so fun, is that, you know, they try to stagger their arrival times, but especially yesterday, you know, some opponents were in there at the same time. And I think for the most part, the guys have fun with it. And they know, especially with so much media there, you know, specifically with this event, that, you know, it's a good way to build some hype for the fight, you know, get everybody in the room together and kind of let them go at it.
Prior to the break, we played the best of Chael Sonnen at today's press conference, and I think you had a great tweet saying you are absolutely surprised. No one has put together some sort of techno song with Chael Sonnen sound bites. It's just a matter of time, Dan. We know it's going to happen, but Chael Sonnen today, I think he took it to a new level, showing up there with a belt. And I guess you and I didn't know that he is the official middleweight champion. I didn't know that. I thought Anderson Silva was. I was obviously mistaken. But Chael Sonnen made it clear that he's the champion. Has he taken it to the next level? Has he lost his mind? And I'll be honest with you, Dan, I get a kick out of it every time.
I'm always the guy who says, like, okay, it's getting old, the shit's getting old, just be serious. But I'm laughing like an idiot every one of those press conferences and workouts. Like, I totally get suckered in, and you know, I guess my roots, you know, I quit watching wrestling when I was 10 or 11, but I feel like I'm right back there, you know, when he starts talking. So it was funny, you know, he brought the belt up onto the stage today, and Dana didn't even see it at first, and I think it was 10 or 15 minutes in the press conference before he had even noticed that Chael put it up on the table in front of him like they do with the real champion. So I don't know, like, it's funny, like, it's so much of a shtick, and he's putting on a show, but then when you get the one-on-one interview or you talk to him directly and he kind of, you know, puts that to the side. He's a very, very insightful guy and says some, you know, breaks down things really well. And so I don't know. It's kind of the best of both worlds. You get the funny, you know, shtick master, but then you also get, you know, a really insightful guy who breaks down the sport really well.
Well, he's a natural analyst for sure. I mean, we've had conversations off the record and breaking down some of his opponents, breaking down some other fights in other divisions, and he knows what he's talking about. Let's go back to the main event momentarily. We'll run through this main card very quickly. Main event, Rashad Evans taking on Phil Davis. The way I look at this fight, Dan, two great wrestlers. Obviously, Phil Davis, in my opinion, is the more, you know, accredited wrestler, much better. But at the same time, this is mixed martial arts. I think they're going to cancel each other out. And if Rashad Evans keeps his fight standing, I don't like Phil Davis's chances.
No, I feel the same exact way. I was talking to someone today, and I said that, you know, right now, obviously, I think Rashad should be a pretty heavy favorite, and he is. I think if you ask me a year or two from now, and Phil's, you know, skills kind of caught up, especially his striking, he'd probably be the favorite. But, you know, right now, he's still a little green and a little rough around the edges, and obviously, we've seen Rashad from his time on The Ultimate Fighter to now, that seven-year span. That guy's improved so much. Like, I think people really forget how heavily criticized he was, you know, the first couple fights off Tough, about how boring of a fighter he was. And now we see this guy with highlight reel knockouts that, you know, you see on every clip that the UFC shows. So,
and I concur. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Co-main event, Chael Sonnen, Michael Bisping. Chael Sonnen is a huge favorite with a lot of the bookies, a lot of the Vegas odds. But I think I've learned, you know, 18 years watching the UFC, that anything can happen at any time. I'm not discounting the fact that Chael Sonnen should defeat Michael Bisping. I'm not saying handily, but it will not surprise me Saturday night if Michael Bisping some way, somehow nullifies the wrestling of Chael Sonnen and pulls off the victory. I am going to go with Chael Sonnen, but when you look at this fight here, because every time, the way I look at it, Dan, is Michael Bisping, if people look at his fights, oh, he's going to lose, but he keeps winning. He just keeps beating people, you know, Dan Henderson, Vanderlei Silva side, but he beats people. When you look at this fight with Chael Sonnen, does he have a chance against the American?
It's like you said, I mean, it's MMA, so there's always a chance. I think it's a terrible, terrible matchup for him. I think Chael is the type of guy who, he's just so relentless, and he's got the conditioning, and he'll continually put it on your back, and if he doesn't get it, I mean, he's not going to give up, you know, trying to get the takedowns or anything. He's just going to be relentless. So I know he's a huge favorite. I don't think maybe he should be a favorite, but like you, I think it's, you know, he's a favorite for a reason. And I think, you know, the smart money would be on Chael at this point.
And Chris Weidman is a favorite over Damian Maia, a veteran and submission wizard of the Octagon. I mean, I'm a little surprised at this one here, but I'm starting to understand why, just because, I mean, you see, I mean, Weidman is absolutely huge. He looked like he should have been standing next to, you know, John Oliver Nymo or Mike Russell. The guy is an absolute beast, and he's going to have his hands full on Saturday night.
Yeah, he was saying he was about 215, 220 pounds when he got the call for the fight, and, you know, we know that was just a week ago. So I think the guy doesn't lack at all in self-confidence, and I think, you know, he's very confident in his skills and that. He said that, you know, he really wanted this fight because he really wanted to fight Damian. And we said, well, did you want to fight him specifically? He's like, no, no. He's like, I wanted a fight of this magnitude. I want to prove that I'm at this level. I'm surprised, like you, that he's a favorite. You know, we've seen so little of him. I think, you know, he will be one of the top contenders in the division. But I think a lot of people are really sleeping on Damian. And you know, obviously Chris's plan is going to be to put him on his back, but, you know, there's a lot Damian Maia can do from his back.
That's a dangerous guard for sure. Dan, thank you very much for joining us today. Make sure you want to follow Dan. It's MMA Junkie Dan on Twitter with two N's. But Dan, thank you very much. Enjoy the weigh-ins tomorrow. Enjoy the card on Saturday. I look forward to running into you very soon.
Yeah, I hope to see you soon. Thanks again, Joe.
There you go. MMA Junkies danced up. One of the best in the industry, a guy that's been around for a very, very long time, knows his stuff, knows the sport very well, and him and John Morgan and the rest of the guys over at the site, Josh Carey, Stephen Morocco, they know exactly what they're doing in the sport. They're smart guys. They know what's up. But yeah, this card Saturday night is going to be spectacular. Like I said, I'm going to go with Evans, Sonnen, and Maia on the main card. But tomorrow, I will post up my predictions for the full card and give you a little bit of a breakdown in each one of these bouts. So make sure you check it out. And if you missed the rest of this broadcast, you can check it out on fan590.com after the show. It's also available on iTunes. And don't forget, I want to remind everyone again, the prelims on Saturday night start on Sportsnet 1 at 5 p.m. Eastern. Main card on all four regional channels at 8 p.m. Eastern. Special thanks to Dan again for coming on. Mitch Gagnon, who we hope to see in the Octagon very soon. And, of course, my boys behind the glass, Dylan Brown and Igor Henriquez. Thank you, gentlemen. You've been listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.